I will go. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. These are the words that Father says at the beginning of every Mass, children, as you well know. I will go. For you to be able to go to daily Mass at our school means just walking a few steps down the hallway. But whether or not you would have to travel, as some people do, 20 minutes or an hour to 3 hours to get to Holy Mass, whenever you come to Mass, you always do go on a very long trip. That is to say, that we go to Calvary, don't we? We've been thinking about that these weeks. The Holy Mass transports us back in time to 33 AD, the Holy Land, the Mount of Calvary outside of Jerusalem, and our dear Jesus being put to death by the Jews for the salvation of the whole world. But at every Mass, most of the year, we also go on a trip, perhaps to visit the time or the place of our saint, or sometimes it's the stational saint. So, for example, today we go to Egypt, tucked away in the northeastern part of the great continent of Africa. Egypt, the land of the pharaohs and the pyramids. We go there today for two interesting saints who came from the city of Alexandria, which was once known for its great learning and schools. They had the largest library in the world, which was one of the seven wonders of the world. Only the Mohammedans burned it down because it opposed their false teaching. The people of Alexandria, though, were really a trip, as they say. They were the most curious people. They would get excited and have a riot and start killing people and pillaging and burning down places at the drop of a hat. Extremely excitable people. So our saint today, the ancient one whom we commemorate, is the patron saint you know of toothache. If your tooth aches, you pray to Saint Apollonia. She was a virgin, a woman consecrated to God from her youth, and she was now an old woman. And there was a riot. The pagans were burning down the churches of the Christians and their homes too. Only the Christians weren't afraid. They considered it an honor to suffer the loss of everything for Christ. And so they seize hold of the mob does. Apollonia, this old lady, and they break all of her teeth. That's why she's the patroness against toothache or visiting the dentist if you have to. And it must have hurt terribly. Well, never mind. Now, they said, unless you worship our idols, old lady, we're going to throw you in the fire. And they had a big bonfire, probably made out of things they had stolen from the Christians. And she prayed for a moment, and then, don't try this at home, but it was inspired by the Holy Ghost as a very special dispensation. She broke away from the guards, and she threw herself into the fire to show that they weren't putting her to death, that she was willing herself to die for the love of Jesus Christ. So she's a wonderful example of fortitude, and she helps us to be brave, as I say, when we have to go to the dentist. St. Apollonia. Now, we go in the time machine 2 centuries later, the same city, Alexandria, and there we meet today's great saint, a doctor or teacher of the church, St. Cyril. The people are mostly Christian now, only they haven't changed any. They're just as wild as they ever were and just as prone to having riots. Our saint became bishop after his uncle Theophilus died, and the two of them had been involved actually in attacking another saint, John Chrysostom, and deposing him from his see of Constantinople, church politics. And that poor man suffered very much before he died, a confessor of the faith. Well, Cyril was a young deacon, and he didn't know what his uncle was really up to, so he was pretty innocent. But then the people decided they wanted to have a different candidate, or at least some of them did, and they had a riot, a big battle in the streets, and people were hurt. I don't know if anyone was killed. But then St. Cyril became the bishop, and he was an Alexandrian through and through. He liked nothing better than controversy and having a nice fight with somebody about something. Sometimes it was with the governor, Sometimes it was with the Jews or the Protestants. And sometimes, because of his words or his deeds, the poor people, as well as the guilty ones, suffered very much. Imagine how you would feel tonight if you heard a noise and then you saw a crowd carrying torches coming down your street right to your house, and they said, "You're a traditional Catholic. If you don't get out of town, we're going to burn down your house and your church." Well, that would be a terribly frightening thing. And that's what happened during the time of Saint Cyril. They were always having riots. But what changed him into a wonderful saint? I'll tell you what, children, it was the Blessed Mother. He stood up for her to defend her when another bishop of that same city, the capital, Constantinople, which is today Istanbul, was attacking Our Lady. And he was the heretic Nestorius, and he said, "Mary is not truly the Mother of God." And Saint Cyril said, "Wait a minute, that's not true. Yes, she is. We know our catechism, that our Lord is one divine person and two natures, human and divine. And since our Lord is God and Mary is our Lord's mother, then she must be the Mother of God." So he wrote a very nice sort of a logical letter and explanation to Bishop Nestorius and sent it to him right away. And then he wrote to the Pope about asking the Pope to organize things to take care of this heresy. And so he did, and he put St. Cyril in charge. And St. Cyril had a council in Turkey of all the bishops, and that was the Council of Ephesus. Only he was always a little impatient. You see, saints have their faults too. And he didn't wait for Bishop John to come from Antioch with his other bishops who were following him. And because of that, there was another controversy, and then St. Cyril ended up in jail for a few months, cooling his heels. But finally, everything got settled. And St. Cyril won the day as Our Lady's champion, and the heretic Nestorius was condemned. I think later on in his life, towards the end, St. Cyril mellowed a little bit and was a little bit more gentle. Of course he was, because he was now under Mary's influence, and Our Lady did wonders with him. But what made this man a saint, he always loved the faith, he always hated those whom he thought were the enemies of the truth, but what made him a saint, children, was love for our Blessed Mother. Mary's great feast day comes on Sunday this year, Our Lady of Lourdes. It's always time for us to be thinking, especially with Lent coming, do I love Mary? How do I show my love for our Blessed Mother? Last year, we dedicated our Lent to Our Lady. It's a different theme this year, but every day should be us dedicated to Our Lady. You have your good points, but you have your faults too. But I'll tell you this, if you love Our Lady and show your devotion to her every day, she'll take you and she'll make a saint of you. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.